Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't we thank the Lord for those Wallace sisters? Amen. Amen. Glad to get y'all down to Burlington. I hear you. Y'all doing it up here in Virginia. Amen. We truly give God glory on this service this morning. Truly give God glory for all that He has done, all that He is doing, and all that He will do. Amen. We thank the Lord again that He is a God who cannot fail. He is a God that cannot lie. Because everything that He has said, it shall go forth. Amen? Amen. Again, as the rain comes down, as the snow comes down, no word that goes again from the mouth of the Lord, it shall not go back to Him void. Is that right? But it will accomplish everything that it's been set out to do. Amen. And it shall prosper for the thing in which He sent it to do. Amen. So be encouraged again, knowing that whatever God has said in your life, amen, regardless of what He has said through the pastor, through the prophets, through ever, that God, again, is surely going to make do on what He said He's going to do. I believe the Word says in Philippians 1 and 6 that He who has begun a good work in you and me, is that right, will surely complete the work that He started, regardless, again, of how long it takes you to finish the race. Because, again, as Pastor was saying, not everybody was first, is that right? I think Deacon Graves might have ran a little bit faster than the others, but the race is not given to the swift, is that right? But it's given, again, to he who, again, is willing to go forth and finish. Amen? So we give God glory for Him, for God first. Give God glory for His Son, Jesus Christ, who has set us free from every yoke of bondage, from every hindrance that could hinder us. Give God glory for the Holy Spirit, who keeps us, amen, even when we're unkeepable. Right. The Holy Spirit keeps us. Right. Is that right? We give honor to the pastor of this house. Amen. Let's give him a round of applause. Awesome man of God. I was already encouraged when I heard that he became pastor at 25. Is that right? 26. And so I was just greatly encouraged by that. Like, wow, there's hope for a young man like me. All right. And so, again, we give honor to you, Pastor. Thank you for having me. Thank, again, the church for having me. Give honor to the deacons, to the trustees, everybody here. Because everybody is somebody in the Lord. Is that right? Regardless, again, of how old you are, how young you are, everybody is doing something for the Lord. Because God has, again, preordained for you to be here. He has predestined you for you to be here. Is that right? As He told Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, which means God has already, He already knows what He's going to do in your life. All you have to do is link up with the Lord and follow the leader that God has portrayed for you to have and link up again with what's going on with Him. Is that right? And believe. Believe. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. So in this season, have no fear in what God has called you to do. Have no fear in what the leader has called you to do. Have no fear because God has not given you fear in this season. Be encouraged again that He already knew you before you knew you. He knows you better than you. For His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Is that right? So continue to press toward the upward call. Amen. Amen. I give God glory for my dad in his absence. He's down in Burlington. And they said Burlington, well, truth be told, I come from a town called Yanceyville. We have to say Burlington so you can sort of get a perspective of where we are. But I know that even when I say Burlington, some folks don't know where that is. So to put it in perspective, it's sort of near Greensboro, okay? Greensboro's the larger city near us, all right? Where I come from, Yanceyville, there are actually probably more cows and chickens than there are people, okay? And so we are truly honored and humbled to be at such a beautiful place. You all are beautiful people here. It's a beautiful atmosphere that you all have here at Crossroads, and I'm truly honored and humbled to be here as a morning speaker this morning. So truly thank you all. Amen. Amen. And again, I'm coming from Yanceyville, and so I was delighted when my cousin asked me to speak. I was like, you sure you want me to speak? You know, but I was truly grateful that she asked me to be here. And so we're going to continue with the word. I'm not going to prolong any longer. We're going to come from 1 Thessalonians this morning, all right? 1 Thessalonians, we're going to read through this a little bit. We're going to read through this a little bit. Again, we give God glory for what He is doing and give God glory for my dad, who's my leader in the house. Amen. And give God glory for my mother. And so I always give honor to my parents because I realize I wouldn't be anything without them. Because truth be told, I'm a really blessed individual to be able to, I was ordained and licensed by my father, and I was also put into work by my dad, okay? So I was truly blessed to be able to have, not go far for what I needed to do. Before I read the scripture, let me pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the power of your word, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I ask, God, that you allow me to decrease, Father, that you would increase. And that, God, your people be built up, Lord, that they would hear something that is needed to be heard. And I just thank you, God, for this place. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read one verse and then you all can be seated because I'm going to run through this, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. It says, finally, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. Amen. You may be seated. So again, when we're looking at verse 1, I want you to have the mindset that I am here not just to be existing, but I am existing for purpose. Wherever you go, your existence should be transforming the atmosphere wherever you are. Because God has called each and every one of us. Is that right? Not just the pastor, not just the deacons or the missionaries. He has chosen each and every one of us for such an opportune time called now. We have to be encouraged that, again, that the joy of the Lord is shadowing upon me, so that wherever there may be hatred, whether there may be anger, that the joy of the Lord abounding in me is transforming the angry atmosphere that I come into. That again, the wellness of life that is upon me is transforming the poverty wherever I'm going to. Wherever the love that is shining upon me is transforming the hate wherever I am going. That the light is so brilliant among my face, the light is so brilliant among my possession, that wherever I am going, darkness is transforming from darkness into light. Be encouraged, because we are understanding that what? Darkness cannot comprehend the light. So which means, again, that God, again, has foreordained you and me to go forth in this world, not just existing, trying to find purpose. We have already been purposed to exist from heaven, that heaven, again, has come down. Is that right? Because the kingdom is going to be coming down on earth as it is in heaven. Is that right? And if it's coming down on earth as it is in heaven, God has already given us tools necessary to accomplish the divine task that we have been given to accomplish in this earth. You need to realize that Christ, again, yes, he is coming soon. He is coming one day. But as when he's coming down, he's not trying to come down to do all the work. The Bible says in Ephesians that we, again, are Christ's hands and feet. Christ is the head, but we are the hand and feet. People are looking for Christ everywhere. They're looking for God. They're looking for God. And the Bible says that no man can see God at any time. Is that right? But then we are reminded again that John says as well that what? Even though you cannot see God, or we haven't seen God at any time, it says again when that love is shown. That's right. It's a portion of what God is, or who God is. Because without love, can't find God. Amen. And so we are encouraged that, again, God has given us these tools to accomplish the task. Again, as Paul's writing to the people in Thessalonica, he says, again, to abound more and more. So don't get complacent again with where we are in the body of Christ. It becomes real easy that when we prosper, it becomes real easy that when things are going good, that we can get a little relaxed. Is that right? We start to unloosen the tie. We start to kick the feet back a little bit. We start to relax a little bit. But God has not called us, again, to coldness. He's not called us to lukewarmness, but he's called us to be zealous for him as he is zealous for us. Remember in Revelation chapter 2 that God, again, was commending the church there in Ephesus, that what he said, that you've been doing good. You've been doing the works. You've been bearing. You've been enduring. He says, yet I have one thing against you, church. And then, I'm sure the people in Ephesus are like, what have you against us? You have just commended us for being, persevering. You have commended us for doing the work. You've commended us for doing these things. But Christ still comes back and says, one thing I have against you is that you have left your first love, and says, repent and therefore do the first works again. So don't let your love for the Lord grow cold in the season. You see, if you do it for just the pastor, your love might get cold in the season, because you're going to be looking for kudos from the pastor. If you're doing it for your parents, your love for the Lord might grow cold in the season, because you're going to be looking for some congratulations. You're going to be looking for some thumbs up. But if you're doing it for the Lord, then you shall be encouraged. Do things unto God and not unto man. Don't get me wrong. You listen to your pastor. You listen to your leader. But do, again, the listening for God first. Because you see, if you listen to God, you'll follow the pastor. But if you ain't listening to God, you ain't going to follow the pastor. And if you ain't going to follow the pastor, you ain't going to follow the Lord. Amen? Let's continue. But to abound more and more. So again, having the thought that my existence, that wherever I go, that places are transformed by my mere existence. Because it's not me who is now existing, but it's God who is existing in me. I believe the word says that In him we live, we move, we have our being, which means that everywhere I go, the Lord is going. Is that right? Doesn't that the Bible says the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us? Is that right? And doesn't it say it again that he has given us his spirit? He has given us his spirit, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's continue. It says, for you know that what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know the commandments. If you know the commandments, continue to do what God has called you to do. Is that right? Amen. It says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. I want to speak to you something as well. Now, the Bible, again, here is speaking about sexual morality, but when we talk about our bodies as a temple, it's not just merely sexual morality, but when it comes, when I heard Pastor talking about the wellness, you cannot fully do what you've been called to do for the Lord if you're not taking care of your body. And so in this season, we have to be reminded that we have to take care of this temple. And this is the only temple that we get here. Is that right? Before this mortal turns into immortality. Amen? But don't rush the mortal to immortality. Don't rush the transition. If you know that you shouldn't eat the next slice of cake because you got diabetes, don't eat the next slice of cake. If you need to limit yourself to a two piece instead of eating, what, three pieces, limit yourself to two pieces. And I say it again in humor, but I say it in encouragement because, yes, I have to count myself accountable, too. Because, you know, a young man like me, I love to go for the gusto, amen? That's why I got to stay away from the buffets, all right? But the thing about it, again, is, again, take care of your body because it's the only one that you're getting. And, yes, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, but don't take the word out of context. Because sometimes we look at words and say, oh, I can do all things with Christians. You know, I can do this. But if your body is not lined up, then we can't go further. Amen? Let's continue. It says, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. As, again, the women behind me were saying, if you do not know God by now, you ought to get to know him. Amen? And just don't know God because somebody else knows God. You don't know God because your pastor knows God, and you don't know God because your grandma knows God. You don't know God because daddy knows God, because your sister or brother know God. Know God because you know God. You know, because when we go back to the book of Acts, we realize again that the people, that Paul was there and he was causing a whole lot of stuff. Amen. It was causing some ruckus because the people in that time they hadn't seen something like this before, right? Paul was healing people with his handkerchief and things were getting down. And so when the sons of Sceva, they looked at Paul and they said, wow, this is all going on. They said, well, let me try this. And they got ready to heal or to cast out the demon. Is that right? They got ready to cast out the demon. And when they got ready to cast out the demon looked at them and said, Paul, I know. Is that right? Christ, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? You see, you don't want to go up to your tribulation. You don't want to go up against to any kind of confrontation, and the enemy puts you back upside your head and say, well, who is you? I don't know you. Because if God doesn't know you, then I must not know you either. You see, the enemy doesn't have to respect you if God doesn't know you. But the enemy has to be an authority to the Christ in you. But see, if there's no Christ in you, the enemy does not have to obey you. You see, the enemy is subject to Jesus' name. But if you're just using Jesus' name and don't know Jesus, then the power of Jesus is ineffective in you. Is that right? So know Christ for yourself. Know him for you. Not just because it sounds good or looks good. Not because the message promises a few things. But because you have a genuine yearning. You have a genuine reflection as you look at yourself in the mirror daily that, oh my gosh, I've got this, I've got that. And to know that you can't fix you.
That's right. That's
right. I don't care how many books are written. I don't care how long you've been in school.
All right.
But you can't fix you.
That's right. Amen.
I don't care how much you think you can fix you. Guess what? You can't. Christ fixes us. The Holy Spirit fixes us. And in order to be fixed, you have to be willing to be fixed. Let's continue. It says, Again, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as for also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. I want to also be reminded to you of something, that again, the pastor of the church has been ordained as the church, not merely by man, but by God himself. So when we turn into rebellion and don't like to do things that the pastor asks us to do, we're not merely rejecting the pastor, but we reject God who sent him. Amen? Verse 9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, but you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. The scribes had asked Jesus, Jesus, what is the most important law of the laws? Jesus first said, you know, you to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. A lot of times we as Christians stop right there. Loving God. Do you love God? Yeah, I love God. I love the Lord. But when the brother is in need, we still love God, but I need $5. I love the Lord. Did you hear something? I love the Lord. I need $5, right? But again, the second thing that Jesus said, it was like it. He said, to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Now, I truly feel the presence of love here at this church. It's awesome. But no matter how much love we have, we can always love more. Amen. Is that right? He says to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Do a little bit more than what you have been doing. Now is the season now to be praying more than what you have been praying. Now is the season to give a little bit more than what you have been giving. Not just giving your tithes and your offerings, but giving a little bit more of yourself. Giving a little bit more of your time. Find things to give. Find things to give of yourself too that are going on in the church. Because now is a time like never before to have to be doing some sowing. You see, harvest time is coming. Harvest time is coming. Is that right? But in order to receive any kind of harvest, you have to first be doing some sowing. Amen. The harvest is plentiful. Is that right? But the laborers are few. So be one of the laborers in this harvest during this season. Let's continue. It says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life. A lot of times that's hard for us. To lead a quiet life. So easy is it for these two things to come together and open up. Come together and open up. So easy is for this thing in our mouth called the tongue. Just get to going. You know, James talks about that. Chapter 3. Says we have bits, is that right, to control horses? Small rudders to control the ships. Said, yet this thing in our mouths, it's a poison. Impossible for any man to tame. You mean to tell me, and all of this being, head to feet, and all of our strength, now, this thing in my mouth that's probably no longer than an inch or so is impossible for me to tame. The answer is yes. And it's going to take the Spirit of God to tame the mouth. It's easy to respond to things quickly. But God has told us also in James, let us not be quick to wrath. Is that right? And quick to speak. But as we've given two ears, let us be quicker to hear. Amen. Amen? Amen. Aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business.
Oh, have mercy.
And God has called one pastor. He has called some deacons. And he has called you. He has called The sound people do the sound people. He's called the choir to be the choir. If you're not in the choir, not a part of the choir, have no intention of being in the choir, then your criticism of the choir should not be so loud. If you're not intending to being a pastor, then the criticism of the pastor should be kept alone. But so easy it is for us to try to get into another lane. What happens when two cars are in the same lane? We have a thing called a collision. You see, I had gotten a ticket before in North Carolina, and in North Carolina, they require you to go to a class to try to not, for you to be prohibited from doing the thing again. Is that right? And then they get you in this class so you don't have to pay the fine that you were expected to pay. Praise the Lord for grace. And so the thing about it again is this. When they were talking about when two cars hit or when two cars are in the same lane, what happens? The first answer said was an accident. I was agreeing. I was like, yeah, an accident. And they kept saying, no, that's not what it is. What? He said, when a car gets into another lane, it wasn't an accident. The car intended to get into another lane. He said, what we call that in law is a collision. You see, you trying to get into another lane was not an accident. You didn't just open your mouth to get in somebody's lane by accident. You intended to get into another lane. But in the same way, be intentional about repentance and forgiveness and get out of the other lane and back into the lane that you were called to be. It's awesome that God didn't call us to all be the same thing. Get a little boring and we'd all be a whole lot more aggressive with each other because we'd be a little mad that we are all called to do the same thing. We get angry, is that right? I'm a better pastor than this pastor. I'm a better choir than that choir, right? We'd all get a little upset if we were all called to do the same thing. But the awesome thing about God is he has planted just a little bit of everything inside of each and every one of us. He's put a piece of him in all of us. And to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. You see, one of the things that gets us out of the blessings of God sometimes is our mouth. So one of the things that gets us outside the blessings of God sometimes is our complaining, is our murmuring, is our backbiting. One of the things that gets us outside of the blessings of God sometimes is trying to get, again, in another lane. You see, in Numbers chapter 12, we go back and we read about Miriam and Aaron. What happened? Miriam and Aaron had a complaint against Moses. Moses, the holy man. I mean, he stuck his rod right there and the water split. How could you have a complaint against that guy? They got to complaining to God about, you know, Lord, why do you choose Moses to do this? Why do you allow Moses to do all these things? And, you know, God's reply was simple. And the fact it says, you know, Moses doesn't only look for what I can do for him, but Moses is more concerned about knowing me, about seeing my face. Moses doesn't merely seek my hand. He seeks my face. That's his desire. And because he seeks my face, now I have chosen Moses to do these things. But he says, you all just want to do things to have some glory, to get your own glory. You see, if you did it for your own glory, I could not get their glory because you'd be too busy in the way proclaiming about who you are. It's interesting. That was a common problem in Israel. Because again, we got to realize that a whole generation was not able to see the promised land. Not because of giants that were in the way. Not because of a sea that was in the way. God allowed them to cross the seas. Not because of an army of Egyptians that were behind them. God allowed them to get away from the Egyptians. But the thing that kept the children of Israel out of the promised land was what? It was the fact that they disbelieved in God's power. It's the fact that they had fear and they did not believe that God would lead them to where they had to go. And they murmured and complained about the Lord, about what he had not done. And you say, it was better for us to go back to Egypt. Is that right? So God said, okay, y'all ain't gonna see it. And even Moses could not get there because of, again, of his disobedience. Don't allow disobedience in this season to keep you from retaining what God has called for you to keep. Don't allow disobedience. Don't allow rebellion. Don't allow fear. Don't allow these things to keep you from grasping what God has destined you for to have. But through your obedience, the Bible says that through Christ's suffering, he learned obedience. So even some things that are uncomfortable for you sometimes, you're going to have to go through them because it'll teach you obedience. Because truth be told, some of us, I know I wouldn't be obedient if it wasn't for the switch or the belt. Sometimes God has to whoop us with the switch and the belt to get us corrected into what he has called us to be. And not all the times is it the switch and the belt. Sometimes God, again, just allows you to go through things because tribulation produces patience. Patience produces a character, and character produces hope, and hope is not disappointed. So sometimes you have to go through some things to be revealed as pure gold. We're going to turn quickly, and I'm going to finish up with this. 1 Timothy. Y'all learning something this morning? I want to ask you the question, are you prepared to meet the Lord? You see, because think about being a funeral director. It opens your eyes that at any point, I could be gone. We bury people all ages, from infants to 100-year-old people. And God bless getting the 86-year-old back there, amen? And God bless Pastor being 65 and able to run 10 miles, woo! And whoever else went. But the thing about it is that God can take us at any time. The question we have to ask ourselves, are we ready? Are you preparing to get ready? Or are you ready? The thing about that we have to ask ourselves again is that are we loving the Lord full-heartedly? Are we loving the Lord fully-mindedly? Or is there some double-mindedness in our mindset? Is there some I believe, I don't believe in our heart? God has asked us to love him full-heartedly. Yes, we have children we love. We have parents we love. We have things that we love in this world, but nothing is more important than our love for God. In essence, we cannot fully even see totally what we have been created to be without loving the Lord. Because if it's him that we live, we move, and have our being, then if we truly want to see the divine purpose that he has called for us to existing in this world, we have to be connected to the divine. Amen. Not in ourselves. It's a little hard sometimes because sometimes you're going to have to let some of you go, which isn't always comfortable, which isn't always satisfactory to how you feel. Won't you be encouraged with something? That this walk that we walk, this run that we run, this fight that we fight, is not about how you feel. Some days you're going to feel better. Some days you're going to feel worse. But it's not about feeling. And even the Holy Spirit, it's not about feeling the Holy Spirit. Okay. All right. Don't ever feel like the Holy Spirit is not with you. Man. Don't ever feel like that you don't possess the power of God on the inside. Don't ever feel like God has not called you. Don't ever feel like your time is up. Because God has not called us to live on feelings. He's called us to live in knowing, believing. Faith is not going forth by how you feel. Faith says if I feel a certain way, I can be transformed because of the faith that I have in the Lord. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is a believing. Faith does not go forth of what is seen or what is felt or what is heard. Faith says, okay, I see what's going on. I see what is. I see what has been done. Faith says, now God, I believe that you can do more. our God, I believe that you are greater. That greater is that is in me than he that is in the world. Apply the faith in this season. Amen. Finishing up. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Starting at verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled us. Rely on Christ's enabling power to finish the work that he has started in you. Again, I repeat to you, you've heard it before early in the sermon, that you cannot do it by yourself. But as Christ enables you, it's going to be the word of God that enables you to do the work. You're going to be only as strong in the fight as the word that you know. You know, when you're first being saved, yes, it was okay not to know a few Bible scriptures. But if we are going to continually be saved, then let us know more than the Lord's Prayer, or Psalm 23. Let us get into the Bible studies. Let us get again into the word of God to be more powerful in what he has called us to do. Amen. You're only as effective as what you know. And when people perish because of lack of what? A lack of knowledge. Is that right? So know again the word of God so you can fight with the sword of the Spirit. It says, because he has counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy that in me first Christ Jesus might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. As Christ was patient with me and you in our dark area, as Christ was patient with us in saving us, then let us be patient with one another. Amen. Let us be patient with the saved and the unsaved. Amen. Now, to King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone who is wise, be honor and glory forever. Amen. It says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, and this we charge to you, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. According to those prophecies, according to the word of God that's been given to you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. I encourage you this morning to continue to wage the good warfare. Because whether or not you want to fight in the war, the war is coming for you. This is a battle between, again, what? Good and evil. It has been since the days of old. So it's not a matter, again, if you want to enlist or not. You have already been enlisted in this war. What would it look like if I was standing here and the boxer was in front of me and he was just knocking me upside the head and I didn't fight back? I'd look a little crazy. Is that right? So in the same perspective, don't, again, come into this life thinking, again, that you are just going to be here to exist, but you're existing to transform. That again, as the enemy comes with all his fights and all his devices, that you can fight again the devices of the enemy with the word of God. Amen. Having faith in a good conscience, which some having rejected, concern the faith, have shipwrecked. So I encourage you, Crossroads, to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. Wage the good warfare. Now is the time to arise and to awaken further into what God has called you unto. Now is the time again to remind yourself. There are going to be some times you're going to have to stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. If Timothy had to do it, if he had to stir up the gift that was on the inside of him, in a better perspective than Timothy, but if Christ himself had to stir up the gift, you say, well, how did Christ stir up the gift? It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 or verse 2, it says that what? For Christ being on the cross, looking before him, he looked before him and he saw again the joy. He saw the me and yous that he was saving. He saw the backbiter that he was saving. He saw the lame that he was saving. He saw the poor that he was enriching. He saw the broken that he was repairing. If Christ can look before him, amen, and endure the cross, because remember, Christ really didn't want to do it. He had a little bit of doubt in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, this cup will pass, then let it be taken away. This cup will pass, let it be taken away. But nevertheless, not my will, Father, but your will be done. You got to tell the Lord in this season. You got to tell yourself in this season. You got to speak to self and tell self, no, we're not going to fall to self to how you feel. We're not going to fall to self and what you know. We're not going to fall to the fears of self. But God's will is going to be done because his word does not go back void. But it shall accomplish what has been set out to do. Regardless of how high the mountains, regardless of how low the valleys, regardless of how wide the seas, Christ, again, will accomplish. Amen. regardless of the giants. God before you, then who could be against you? Regardless of how much you have to fight, regardless of who was against you, because it's Christ who has justified you, regardless of what you are fighting, greater is that that is in me and you than he that is in the world. So Crossroads, I pray that you are encouraged, and I encourage you again to continue to fight the good fight of faith, wage the good warfare, fight the good fight of faith, continue to wage the good warfare. Lean not to your own understanding in the season. Don't lean to what you know. Amen. Lean to who you know. Amen. And I'm talking about the Lord. Yes. Amen. Be encouraged. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Excellent. God be the glory. Excellent.